ये नहीं चाहिए। जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी, यो राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी, जय गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी, गिरिवर धारी, यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, न ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जमुना तीरावन चारी, जयो राधा माधवा जयो कुंज बिहारी, मदा माधवा जयो कुंज बिहारी। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद, जय जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद।
जय मुष्टपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शिष्यमति भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य बीबीटी फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शिष्यमति भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती गोस्वामी प्रभुपाद की। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासारी गौर भक्त वृंद की। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की। ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की। पुरुषोत्तम श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। मायापुर नवदीप धाम की। गंगा मैया की, यमुना मैया की, तुलसी देवी की। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की। गोलोक प्रेमधन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की। नताय गौर प्रेमानंदे। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटेड, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटेड, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटेड, ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री लोका। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Hare Krishna, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 11, Swayambhu Manu advises Dhruva Maharaj, Text 28. Yaha Panchavarsha Jananim Tvam Vihaya Matu सपत्न्या वचसा भिन्नमर्मा वनम गतः तपसा प्रत्यगक्षम आराध्य लेभे मूर्धनि पदम त्रिलोक्य यह पंचवर्ष जननिम त्वं विहाय मातु सपत्न्यवचसा भिन्नमर्मा वनं गतस्तपसा प्रत्यगक्षम् आराध्य लेभे मूर्धनि पदं त्रिलोक्या यह पंचवर्ष जननिम त्वं विहाय मातु सपत्न्या वचसा भिन्नमर्मा वनं गतस्तपसा प्रत्यगक्षम् आराध्य लेभे मूर्धनि पदं त्रिलोक्या यह पंचवर्ष जननिम त्वं विहाय मातु सपत्न्या वचसा भिन्नमर्मा वनं गतस्तपसा प्रत्यगक्षम् आराध्य लेभे मूर्धनि पदं त्रिलोक्या तस्तपसा प्रत्यगक्षम् राध्य लेभे मूर्धनि पदं त्रिलोक्या यः पञ्चवर्ष जननीं त्वं विहाय मातु सपत्न्या वचसा भिन्नमर्मा गतस्तपसा प्रत्यगक्षम् आराध्य लेभे मूर्धनि पदं त्रिलोक्या यः पञ्चवर्ष जननीं त्वं विहाय मातु सपत्न्या वचसा भिन्नमर्मा वनं गतस्तपसा प्रत्यगक्षम् आराध्य लेभे मूर्धनि पदं त्रिलोक्या माताजी यः पञ्चवर्ष जननीं त्वं विहाय मातु सपत्न्या वचसा भिन्नमर्मा वनं गतस्तपसा प्रत्यगक्षम्
आराध्य लेबे मूर्धनि पदम त्रिलोक्या।
वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन। यह वन हू पंचवर्षा फाइव इयर्स ओल्ड जननिम मदर त्वम यू विहाय लीविंग असाइड मातु ऑफ द मदर सपत्न्या ऑफ द को वाइफ वचसा बाय द वर्ड्स भिन्न मर्मा अग्रीव्ड एट हार्ट वनम टू द फॉरेस्ट गता वेंट तपसा बाय ऑस्टेरिटी प्रत्यक्षम द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड आराध्य वर्शिपिंग लेभे अचीव्ड मूर्धनी ऑन द टॉप पदम द पोजिशन त्रिलोक्या ऑफ द थ्री वर्ल्ड्स। ट्रांसलेशन इन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। माय डियर ध्रुव, एट द एज ऑफ ओनली फाइव इयर्स यू वर वेरी ग्रीवियसली अफ्लिक्टेड बाय द वर्ड्स ऑफ योर मदर्स को वाइफ एंड यू वेरी बोल्डली गेव अप द प्रोटेक्शन ऑफ योर मदर and went to the forest to engage in the yogic process for realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a result of this, you have already achieved the topmost position in all the three worlds. Purport: Manu was very proud that Dhruva Maharaj was one of the descendants in his family because at the age of only 5 years, Dhruva began meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And within 6 months, he was able to see the Supreme Lord face to face. Factually, Dhruva Maharaj is the glory of the Manu dynasty or the human family. The human family begins from Manu. The Sanskrit word for the man is Manushya, which means descendant of Manu. Not only is Dhruva Maharaj the glory of the family of Swayambhu Manu, but he is the glory of the entire human society. Because Dhruva Maharaj had already surrendered to the Supreme Godhead, he was especially requested not to do anything unbefitting a surrendered soul. Om Ajnanate Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। कं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमं वंदे श्रीगुरुदिन्दानं परमानन्दमाधवं श्री चैतन्यमीश। My dear Dhruva, at the age of only 5 years, you were very grievously affected by the words of your mother's co-wife. And you very boldly gave up the protection of your mother and went to the forest to engage in the yogic process for realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a result of this, you have already achieved the topmost position in all the three worlds. Hare Krishna. First of all, I would seek blessings of all the devotees, especially Mataji, that I can speak something on this exalted topic. So here is a discussion between two great devotees. One is Swayambhu Manu and another is Dhruva Maharaj. Swayambhu Manu is one of the Mahajans where Yamaraj has said, you know, Swayambhur Narada Shambhu Kumaro Kapilo Manu. So Manu, Swayambhu Manu is one of the Mahajans who knows all the transcendental religious principles, which is known as Bhagavad Dharma. That is the process of how to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And secondly is Dhruva Maharaj. In Padyavali, Rupa Goswami courses Shloka, which says that Vatsalyad Abhaya Prada Samayad Artari Nirvapanad. Where he is telling that he is quoting different devotees actually. He is quoting that Supreme Lord is very affectionate. He gives fearlessness to everyone. He removes the suffering of devotees. He is generous. He takes away the sins of all the devotees. And this is testified by Prahlad, Vibhishan, Gajendra, Draupadi, Ahilya and Dhruva. Because it is testified by these devotees, Dhruva Maharaj is one of them. That's why Supreme Lord is like that. So it is not that Supreme Lord is like that, but because it is testified by one of the devotees whom Dhruva Maharaj is, that's why his nature is confirmed. Oh, because these devotees have experienced such nature of Supreme Lord. So that's why. So Dhruva Maharaj is such a wonderful devotee. And another, and later after the this pastime, Narad Muni is glorifying Dhruva Maharaj. He says that Dhruva Maharaj was, he followed my instructions, and he says that Vanam mad adesh karo jitam prabhum. Mera, he followed my instruction and went to the forest. Jigaya tad bhakta gune parajitam. And he defeated the Supreme Personality of Lord. He conquered Supreme Personality of Lord. That means his devotion forced Supreme Lord to shower his mercy. So that's what Narad Muni is saying. So Dhruva Maharaj is such a wonderful devotee. And Rupa Goswami in another verse, he says that that though Dhruva Maharaj was not so mature, but he could still win the favor of Supreme Personality of Lord. So here, in the this section where Swayambhu Manu is instructing Dhruva Maharaj talks, it kind of touches on so many aspects. It touches, if you read them, what is the kind of relationship, sublime relationship that exists between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. And here, Swayambhu Manu, because he is great-great-grandfather of Dhruva Maharaj, he is saying that, he's like very proud that, oh, at the age of 5, you won the favor of Supreme Personality of Godhead. You know, unlike today's fathers, where, or children, where they don't follow, but he's very proud. And his juvenile age, because he's saying only 5 years. So Rupa Goswami says, where were the hunter Dharma's piety, Dhruva Maharaj's maturity and Gajendra's knowledge? It is only devotional service that is the qualification. So it was not his age, but it was his devotional service that was his qualification. And in the end of purport, Prabhupada is saying that because Dhruva Maharaj has already surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God, that he was especially requested not to do anything unbefitting a surrendered soul. So Dhruva Maharaj is a pure devotee. So kind of interesting statement, and he's doing something which doesn't befit him. And his grandfather has come to tell him that you should not do. So this, I'm kind of trying to just, I was reflecting on it and understanding this, and what does this discussion could signify and mean in our lives. So here we see that both are pure devotees, but one has come to rescue the other one. One has come to rescue other one. So the verse kind of also indicates the need of true relationships in our lives. Though we are surrounded by wonderful Vaishnavas, but we need to develop some deeper, stronger relationships. And I have experienced that when I have been in a difficult relationship, in a situation, all I am immersed in, how to find a quick fix to come out of a situation. But a friend comes and he says, wait, he helps you to become an observer of the situation and he helps you to come out of it. Otherwise, we are so immersed in the pain and the situation that it looks like, oh, the world will end if we do not resolve the situation. But a friend helps us to become an observer. when we are ourselves in a problem, it is difficult to become an observer. But somebody else says, you know, like some one person was immersing in a quicksand, and he was struggling, and he was, as he was trying to come out, he was sinking more and more. But there was a person who was passing by. He said, "Wait, stop, just lie down and roll out of the quicksand. Otherwise, you will sink inside it." So similarly happens when we are in difficult situation. So here, Swayambhu Manu is rescuing Dhruva Maharaj from actually a sinful situation. Kurma Puran says, a person who always worships me with unalloyed love but also insults Lord Shiva goes to hell. And Kuvera, whose the Yakshas are the part of his kingdom, they are the part of kingdom of Kuvera. So killing them is an insult, is an offense to Lord Shiva. So actually Swayambhu Manu is saving Dhruva Maharaj from a sinful situation. So I'm kind of reflecting here not on Dhruva Maharaj but on the situation, that what it happens, to get an understanding with a short story. Once there was a donkey, who was tied to a tree. A demon came and untied the donkey. A donkey was tied to a tree. A demon came and untied the donkey. The donkey ran into the fields nearby and he started destroying the crop. The farmer's wife saw this and shot the donkey dead. The field in which the donkey ran, the farmer's wife, she saw the donkey and shot him dead. The donkey's owner was so upset, so he shot the farmer's wife. The farmer came back to see his wife dead. He went and shot the donkey's owner. So donkey destroyed the crop. The donkey was killed by the farmer's wife. The farmer's wife was killed by the owner of the donkey. And the owner of the donkey was killed by the farmer. And so the wife of the owner of the, then the farmer came back to see his, so the wife of the owner of the donkey, who's asked her sons to go and burn the house of the farmer, that go and burn the house of the farmer. So the boys went late evening and carried out their mother's order happily, assuming that the farmer too would have been burnt inside the house. Sadly for them, the farmer was not there. So he came back and he shot the wife and the two sons also. Now everyone is killed. The donkey is killed. The farmer is killed. His wife is killed. Sons are killed. Only the donkey's owner is alive. He's remorseful. What has happened? So much of catastrophe. And this demon who has untied the donkey was an onlooker of the situation. He was watching it. And the farmer also saw him. And he asked him, "Why did this all happen?" The demon said, "I did nothing. I only released the donkey. But all of you reacted, overreacted, and released the inner devil. I only released the donkey, but all of you reacted and overreacted." So this is what happens in situations like this. When something happens, we overreact. I'm reflecting on this with this pastime in our lives. So the devil doesn't have to do anything but wake up. It triggers the ego and that takes care of it all. And then all the chaos, all the havoc happens. And so next time, you know, before we can see it, this is it, before replying, before responding, before reporting, rebuking, or avenging, we should think and be careful. Many a time, what the devil does, it just releases the donkey inside us. So what we see here, the donkey is only released and rest all is done by the people. So I recall this story, and what I am trying to reflect on this pastime here is seeking justice in life. How should devotees approach the aspect of seeking justice? How a sadhaka can approach, at least I know, and I think many of you know some people who have left the institution and bhakti also because they felt they didn't get justice or they were mistreated. They left institution. So, is there justice in the process of Krishna consciousness or not? So, for one perspective, there is no scope for justice in Krishna consciousness. So, let's look at this word. The word is very interesting. When we look at the origin of this word justice, we find that this word has also gone through a lot of semantic change, which a lot of English words have gone through. And in India, the word justice has become synonymous with this, the Bollywood word insaf. You know, a lot of movies have been made, insaf ka tarazu, mujhe insaf chahiye. And it has become higher than self-preservation. Somebody said, unke usoolon ko dar kinar kar diya. Unke usoolon ko dar kinar kar diya. Khaak karke khud ko humne insaf kar diya. So people say, we'll destroy ourselves, but we let the justice prevail. So we look at the etymology of word justice. We find that it actually means, it is a proto-italic word which says means sacred formula. Justice means sacred formula. Whereas when we hear of the word justice, what we remember, that blind lady holding a balance in her hand. We remember how people come down on the streets and ask for justice. And justice, Sanskrit or Hindi equivalent, is the word nyaya. And what does nyaya philosophy promises? Nyaya says, nyaya is primarily concerned with the conditions of correct knowledge and means of receiving the knowledge. It's not related to punishing somebody. It is related to the means of receiving knowledge. The philosophy asserts that obtaining valid knowledge of the external world and its relationship with the mind and self is the only way to attain liberation. That's what nyaya means. An ultimate goal of nyaya philosophy, like other systems of philosophy, is liberation, the absolute cessation of pain and suffering. So probably in Vedic times, a king would do nyaya and punish somebody or kill somebody so that they don't have to suffer in next life. But then today it is the system of nyaya or justice is very hodgepodge. So now I would reflect at some Bhagavatam, especially one incident where Parikshit Maharaj got cursed, to reflect relating to this situation. And what does he do when he is in a situation? How he addresses the idea of justice. So there are two incidences I'm reflecting with relation to Parikshit Maharaj. One, where he meets Dharma, the bull, and the mother cow, where Dharma has lost its three legs. And how he approaches the situation with relation to justice. So he's, if even we look in this situation, we see he was a king. He had an authorized position to provide justice, but he didn't jump in a situation, oh, and he saw the bull losing and one Shudra beating him and just kills him. No, he inquires. He asks them, and he doesn't kill Kali directly. And when he inquires from Dharma, Dharma also replies the situation to this. And he says that it is very difficult to identify the miscreant in this situation. He did not directly point out to Kali as the miscreant. And Prabhupada says there, Parikshit Maharaj wanted to get a statement of accusation against the direct mischief monger, but they declined to give it on the above mentioned grounds. Speculative philosophers, however, do not recognize the sanction of the Lord. They try to find out the cause of sufferings in their own way, as will be described in the following verses. So here Prabhupada is, so I'm discussing here, it's completely from a point of view of pure devotional service, where Prabhupada is saying that though Parikshit Maharaj is asking for the direct person who has done this mistake, for the still the devotee, where Dharma personified, he is denying to point out who, because he understands that nothing can happen without the sanction of the Lord. So as that is end of it, anybody does you anything, don't do anything, just accept it at the sanction of the Lord. Even later, Prabhupada says, as devotees of the Lord, they knew well also that without the sanction of the Lord, no one could inflict trouble upon them. They take it for granted that the mischief monger is made to act by some indirect cause, and therefore they tolerate the sufferings, thinking them to be God-given in small doses. For otherwise, the sufferings should have been greater. So one solution, Prabhupada is saying, that we look at it when we feel we have been recipient of injustice, is that it is happening through an indirect cause, through the sanction of Lord, and in small doses. Otherwise, our suffering could have been bigger. If we lose one finger, we could say, oh, there was a chance of losing the whole hand, but by the mercy of Krishna, I lose only one finger. So now there is this situation where Parikshit Maharaj was acting as a king. Now look at another situation where he has been cursed by Sringi, son of Shamik Rishi. And Shamik Rishi, in glorifying Parikshit Maharaj, says this famous word, Tiraskrita Vipralabdha Shapta Shipta Hatapi Nasya Tat Pratikurvanti Tat Bhakta Prabhavopi. The devotees of the Lord are so forbearing that even though they are defamed, cheated, cursed, disturbed, neglected, or even killed, they are never inclined to avenge themselves. When I asked the same question once to Niranjan Maharaj in a class in Chowpatty, he quoted this verse and told me, Prabhu, you memorize this verse, you write this verse somewhere, wear it, hang it, but that's the only solution if you want to see that. If you feel you are provoked in a situation where you want to avenge on devotees, only option is to memorize this verse. So Shamik Rishi is saying, Prabhupada is saying in the purport that a powerful devotee never misuses the power of personal benefit. Whatever power the devotee may have is always utilized in service toward the Lord and his devotees only. So when Parikshit Maharaj is a king, he had authority. He wanted to give justice. He wanted to punish Kali. Yet he inquired and he did not whimsically just killed Kali. He wanted to. But when something was inflicted on him personally, he chose not to act. He chose to surrender the situation, accept it as Krishna's will. This is one, with my limited understanding, one approach I am seeing here. And there are many incidences where, one incidence where Prithu Maharaj, he is trying to protect his citizens, he is chasing the Mother Earth. But there is another situation where he is dealing with Indra and he is punishing, but on the request of Supreme Lord, he even agrees to forgive him. But in case of giving protection to citizens, he chases the Mother Earth and gets everything what is required for Mother Earth. In Mahabharata, if we see, Mother Draupadi had taken vows that I will not tie my hair unless, you know, they are bathed with the blood of Dushasana. So Pandavas were bound to fulfill her vow. The war was to happen. But if we read in Mahabharata, Pandavas and Krishna tried so many times that the war can be avoided without caring for the vow of Mother Draupadi. That means that was more important for them than to kill the Kauravas. Though Kauravas didn't agree and they fought the war, but they tried their best as devotees that the war should not happen. In Bhagavatam, we see another incident where Mother Diti wants revenge on Indra. But she is tricked by her husband in a way to revenge that she purifies her consciousness. And now here we see that Dhruva Maharaj, who as a child also has set out for justice and was directed by Narad Muni. And as a child, the pattern he has emerged again when he was a king. But again he is here corrected by Swayambhu Manu. And a very similar incident that comes in Mahabharata is where, after Parikshit Maharaj is killed by Takshaka, Janmajaya wants to revenge all the races of snakes. And he decides to do a yagya where the entire race of snakes is being killed. So he calls upon this fire sacrifice. All the great sages of the world have come together and they are chanting verses, and snakes are falling down from the kingdom of Vasuki. And it is mentioned in Mahabharata that from the Havan Kund, you know, the blood and the all the, you know, the bodily elements are coming out. There is bad odor everywhere. And there the king Vasuki is very worried. And somehow then his sister had a son named Sage Astika, who has been, forecasted that he is the one who will save the race of snakes from the extinction. So this sage Astika goes there to the assembly of where Janmajaya with other sages is performing the fire sacrifice. He glorifies King Janmajaya and the sacrifice so much that King Janmajaya is very pleased. He says, whatever boon you want, you can ask me for. And as he asks the priest that, do I have the permission to give him a boon? They say, wait, Takshak hasn't come yet. Let the Takshaka come and then you can grant him the boon. And Takshaka has the protection of King Indra. Indra has promised him, you stay here, nothing will happen to you. But the sages say, we know Indra is protecting me. The first will summon Indra here. They chant shlokas that Indra is also becomes helpless. He's bound to come down to the sacrifice of Janmajaya. In his viman, he comes there and Takshaka is hiding under his upper cloth. But they chant verses and become so helpless that Indra has to finally give up Takshaka. And Takshaka is arrived almost. Havan Kund is here and he's here and he's about to fall down. And the priest say, so our sacrifice is about to be completed. King Janmajaya, now you can award boon to this sage Astika. And he says, yes, sage, what do you want? He says, what I want, that no more snakes be killed. Ha! Janmajaya feels, what happened? He feels, you know, stuck. Now the whole effort, the snake to kill whom we have done this yagya is here. And he says, hey, sage, whatever you want gold, silver, whatever, kingdom, whatever you want, I'll give you, but do not ask for this boon. He says, no, what is the use of, he's a wonderful sage, so he knows the philosophy and he practices. So he says, what is the use of this? I only want that you stop this sacrifice here and do not kill any more snakes. And any more means the Takshak who's just hanging above. This is the climax of the entire episode. And all the sages say, they'd say, Janmajaya, we think you should approve this boon. And Janmajaya says, so be it. So Takshaka is saved. It feels you've done the entire sacrifice, killed so many snakes, but the only one you are about to kill is saved. So what is Krishna's justice? So I was looking at some of the Prabhupada conversations to reflect, because in Bhagavatam, Prabhupada everywhere says a devotee has to accept the situation and just consider it as the sanction of the Lord and accept it. Now there is this incident where Prabhupada is having conversation in London where he is commenting on Bhagavad Gita verse in relation to Arjuna. He's saying that our war means, according to Vedic civilization, that is dharma yudh, religious fight. When the actual need is there to fight, we must fight. Not that when there is no need of fight, one becomes non-violent. And then another place where Prabhupada, there is a discussion between Prabhupada and disciples. Their discussion started, there are two classes of men, the communist and the non-communist. And Prabhupada kind of predicted what is happening in India now. Prabhupada said that the communists are going to be more powerful in future. And that is what has happened in India. So Prabhupada knew well in advance what will be the situation in future. So there, Prabhupada, there's a discussion comes about this court case on ISKCON, which was, I think, about ISKCON being accused of brainwashing. And Prabhupada is saying that, so we have to maintain so many departments to fight with these wrongdoers. Why not make a test case that this man is declaring himself God? How is he God? Another case. Let him prove in the court. Why not institute a case? So Prabhupada is recommending this person who claims himself to be God. Prabhupada is saying, let's file a case against him and pin him down. And then another place where, yes, about this case where ISKCON was, there was a lawsuit on being brainwashing. Prabhupada says, yes, that we require an expert lawyer. There are some technical terms. Ordinary man cannot translate it. If among yourself there is a lawyer, if he helps us translate, we can publish it. There are so many legal, the judgment is wonderful judgment. And this man replies, historical judgment. And Prabhupada says, this is very interesting, yes, I was expecting to fight this case at least for some years. But by Krishna's grace, he has given on the first day the judgment. So where Prabhupada had asked his disciple, you carry all my books and you read and you let them find, is there anything that is... So this is the case, Prabhupada. So Prabhupada's repeatedly saying that... He was ready to fight this case for a few years, but by Krishna's mercy. So he is willing to fight wherever there is somebody is trying to hamper the service of Krishna. So reflecting at this incident, the another pastime from Bhagavatam, my humble understanding is that Krishna gives devotee understanding how to deal in different situations. For service of Krishna, devotees do not like to tolerate any injustice. But in their personal circumstances, they act according to their understanding in relation to what is the level of their practices so far and whatever maturity they have in their devotional life. So there are some ways which I thought from my personal experience are good in a situation where somebody has experienced injustice, going through difficulty is, first, I understand that silence, not suggestions. When we see somebody in a problem, what we first go is and start giving them suggestions. Ha, do this, do that, whatever. And probably the person just wants to share. So it's probably silence, holding hand, sitting with him. That's a bigger help. And when I go for this preaching program in Mira Road, one Mataji came for the program and she said, I was sent by a devotee here, a very nice devotee, but then my son got a very severe disease. He developed suicidal symptoms. And this devotee came to me and said, it's because of your karma that this is happening. And she was heartbroken. And right there in the class, she started crying that how can you devotees make a statement like this? So sometimes it's better not to comment and just hear and give somebody some encouragement rather than this is discouraging them by saying, oh, this is your karma. So it's better sometimes silence is better than Jai Shri Radha Vrindavan Bihari Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Second suggestion I see, when you see someone grieving, grieve with them, do not offer solutions. It is mentioned in Mahabharata that when Draupadi's sons were killed, Krishna was also crying like as everyone was crying. He was not telling Gita there, you know, it's okay Draupadi, they are not bodies, they are souls, they are gone. Krishna was also crying like everyone was crying, Supreme Personality, and not faking, he was actually crying. So it's best. And when it comes to personal situation, it's good that we do not try to understand sometimes what happened with us, but try and practice acceptance. Sometimes we try to decode it. You say what? Analysis, paralysis by analysis. Sometimes we have to accept it. There is no We cannot understand why happened what happened. We can experiment some ways to come out of it, focus on our strengths, what we can do to serve Krishna, spend some time with friends, deepen our spiritual situation, and most importantly, do not become an instrument of grief in other people's life. That's very important, that we do not inflict. When we see in life that there are situations where we feel we are not receiving love, where we are not receiving respect, or where, okay, the grief, something which we don't want is coming, something we want is not coming, best is not to do the same with other people. If we feel we are not being loved, we can offer more love to somebody else. If we feel we are not being respected, we can offer more respect to somebody else. Then Krishna opens a window in our heart, and our need for love and our need for respect disappears. It flies out. So when we receive that, okay, we have this, we should not become an instrument of the same thing in other people's life. To end it, I'll share another small story. Once a man caught a bird, and the bird said to him, "Release me and I will give you 3 valuable pieces of advice. I will give you the first when you let me go, the second when I fly up to the branch, and third when I fly up to the top of the tree." The man agreed and let the bird go. "Now free," the bird said, "do not torture, torment, and burden yourself with excessive regret for past mistakes." The first piece of advice the bird gave to this man. The bird then flew up to a branch and said, "Do not believe anything that goes against common sense unless you have the first-hand proof." Okay, first is, do not torture, torment, and burden yourself with excessive regret for past. Second, do not believe anything that goes against common sense unless you have first-hand proof. And then the bird flew to the top of the big tree and said, "You fool, I have 2 huge jewels inside of me. If you had killed me instead of letting me go, you would have been rich." Oh, the bird fooled the man. The man said, "Damn it, how could I have been so stupid? I am never going to get over this." He said, "Can you at least give me the 3rd piece of advice as a consolation?" The bird replied, "I was merely testing you. You were asking for further advice, yet you already regarded the first 2 pieces of advice I gave you. First, I told you not to torment yourself with excessive regret for past mistakes. And second, I told you not to believe that things that go against common sense unless there is a first-hand proof. And yet you just tormented yourself with regret for letting me go. And you also believe that somehow there are 2 huge jewels inside the stomach of this tiny bird. So here is your 3rd piece of advice," which I thought was my lesson from this past time. "If you are not applying what you already know, why are you so intent on gaining what you do not know? If you are not applying what you already know, why are you so intent on gaining what you do not know?" So as for many years of practice here in classes, we know so much to deal with such situations in life. Such situations in life are an opportunity to apply what we already know. And in the process of Krishna consciousness, we are constantly invited to be who we are. That's what is our original nature. So let's accept it and continue with our practice. Thank you. Any comments? Questions? Mataji has come.
Thank you. So, from what you said, and from the examples of Srimad Bhagavatam, it seems that we are to understand that justice does not include revenge. On the mundane platform, people usually equate justice with revenge, mm-hmm. like the original story of the donkey.
Yeah.
So in that kind of scenario, then we, if justice is, injustice is done toward me as a person, then I should not seek, I should accept as Krishna's mercy. Because the possibility that I will seek revenge is much stronger when the injustice is toward me. I'm just asking if, am I understanding what
you're saying? Yes, yes. So what I shared was that this is what is what I understood, and as I reflect on it, it's not so easy. So that's why I, in the end, I said from my experience, I have some midways to deal with it. That you have a friend whom you can discuss with it, because it pains, we stay with it for a lot of time, but we intellectually know that this is not appropriate to take revenge. But then to deal with it, we have to find our ways. Till the time we are there, like a pure devotee, we do not have a feeling of revenge. But that's my understanding is.
But still, there must be justice. Like the example of Maharaj Parikshit and the personality of Kali, he didn't get away scot-free. He didn't. His life wasn't ended, but he was cursed. And in the example of Arjuna on the battlefield, Arjuna didn't want to fight. But Krishna said, yes, you fight, you must fight, it's your duty. So there was no issue of revenge in Arjuna's heart. He actually didn't want to fight.
So, but I understand that there is justice, only we are not able to see it. And I know with this example, I explain it that how Dhritarashtra in his before his 100 lives, he killed with an arrow with so many birds. For 100 lives, he had to gain the piety to get 100 sons and be killed. So for 100 lives, if you see, you'll see a normal person living good life, gaining piety and one. But after 100th life, he pays for it. Now, as with our limited capacity, we cannot see a person going through 101 lives. But by the mercy of acharyas, we know that there is justice in universe and nobody can escape it. So that's why I see that our process is so, Prabhupada designed it so wonderfully that, okay, daily going to Bhagavatam class and daily reading, sometimes in something we hear and suddenly it gives you a solace and understanding into the situation. We are going through a tough time, and this happened with me, that I enter Bhagavatam class and I am going through something and the speaker talks exactly about the same issue, and that's why I found I have been moving on. Probably you can share something how it has been working.
It happens to so many devotees, yes. Exactly the same experience. Same. Actually, the first time I heard Srila Prabhupada speak, I was a very new devotee in New York, and I don't remember the whole class, you know, Kali Yuga memory, but I remember at the time thinking, I wonder if Srila Prabhupada planned this class just for me.
Yeah.
I was a new devotee. I did not have this kind of experience before. And recently, I was listening to Srila Prabhupada classes, and this was a videoed class, and I remembered, I heard that class, and I remembered, this was the class. This was the class that I thought Prabhupada was talking to me. So Krishna makes those arrangements. It's actually, we should know that Krishna is protecting
Krishna
us.
Krishna is protecting us. Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He had a Gauran Anandra.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
You are mentioning that when it comes to karma, like if someone is suffering and is asking why I am suffering, and someone says that is your karma, and that is like a heartbreak. But in general, in like not on that person, but in general, if we see, generally we assume that karma is the cause of some person's suffering. Is it philosophically true or something else?
That's what I know. Maybe you hear as scholars, they can correct me. That's what I know, that yes, it is. That is this universal system where you have your karmic bank account and it comes to you. But for devotees, in this famous verse in Mother Devahuti's prayers, where I read this by, I think, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, other acharyas also, I clearly remember the saying that it says that devotees' karmas are burnt like fire burns wood into ashes. And then our acharyas write that, yes, so what does it mean? That, but still there are difficulties in devotees' life, and what does they attribute to? They say they relate to either their offenses, or Krishna is giving them to intensify their devotional service, but it is not on the dint of their karmic account. But probably, and even for anybody, whatever, Krishna's whole purpose in designing the system of karma is that someday they feel they develop a calling to go and connect with Krishna. That's what I understand, that the impact of coming karma into, you know, someday somebody asks why this is happening to me, what is this, and he comes to the journey of self-discovery program. But so this is my I don't know if anybody has any, Balram Shakti Prabhu has any comments. It's appropriate. We'll end it here. Are you, Prabhu, you wanted to say something?
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. Very valuable lessons you shared. Just a weird question. Sometimes in the classes we hear that if something happens to us, we accept it as his mercy of Krishna, and you should not have a desire to avenge or take revenge or something like that. But many times, often we see that the person who are doing that kind of activity, like who like to torment people or something like that. So in that case, if a person who doesn't react, then that same kind of activity is going to continue, of, you know, doing same activity, and in that case, many people might lost the faith in Krishna consciousness, as you rightly said, that many people have left Krishna consciousness because they didn't get justice. So what do you suggest in that sense? That, like we say that, is it right to tolerate? I don't say that, you know, we should have a big issue about it, but then at the same time, if such situations are not tackled, then many people lose their faith in the institution, and that has happened. So what do you say about it?
Yeah, there is no, like, you know, a Boolean answer to it. You know, so what you said, that if I understood, that as devotees, when we witness some injustice, torture, how should we, because it may continue, and others may also, somebody may leave bhakti. So with my limited experience, I understand you can report it rather than revenging on it. Because there are people, we are an institution, so there are some people are authorized to deal with the situation. And so that's why I said that what I spoke was from a pure devotional perspective, which Prabhupada has said, but in Prabhupada, in Bhagavatam, he will not compromise. When he speaks from Vyasas, and he never compromises. But in his dealings, we can see he suggests some ways how we can deal with situations in life. Because he says you have to report, he's saying you hire a lawyer. So here, we have to accept our state. I cannot take it, but we have to see practically, will my revenge help? Because then what I'm doing is developing the same behavior in myself with the other person has. But we can report it and we can get it addressed. And I think that's what that has happened in, even in that situation, depending on Krishna. And I think that's why we have forum, we have ways to at the end, it's a choice who we want to be, because it's, as we say, you know, revenge, or, you know, holding revenge is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So it, and I have experienced, it damages us, makes our consciousness bitter, it becomes difficult to chant. So we have to find some way, have some friend who helps you to share it and reflect on it. And then if it's so severe that it is a case of, we can report it, definitely. That's what I see is a practical approach. Thank you. Haribol. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
सब कुछ सिखा।